Blog Talk Radio.
Special technique. Special technique of shadow boxing.
Yeah, what's going on, people? We are here live on the Boxing Source Radio Show here on Blog Talk Radio through the MRN Broadcasting Channel. I am your host, James Bell. Number to dial in is 347-237-5539. Once again, 347-237-5539. Press one key to get on to, and you'll be able to talk in live on the show. We have pretty much a stacked show today, going over a few of the fights that are going to be coming up here on Saturday, February 27th, 2016, with a few title fights going on, a few, high-profile guys within the sport of boxing having fights on the 27th, and we'll be touching into that. Also looking forward to the upcoming fights that are in the D.C. Armory on March 5th and the Mohegan Sun Casino in Uncasville, Connecticut on March 12th. And also going through a couple of news and notes within the sport of boxing, including one about an announcement of a fight that is also going to be in the D.C. Armory in the future, that, as I have stated multiple times, that I just couldn't bring myself to believe that those fights were going to happen, this fight was going to happen, but we will get into that later on in the show. But first, we'll pretty much get right into it. We have a few fights coming up here on the schedule on Saturday, February 27, 2016. Among those is, as we've covered here on the past couple of weeks, is the unification belt between Carl Frampton and Scott Quigg. Excuse me. And that's going to be a, a high-profile fight over in Manchester, England, for the junior featherweight titles that both of them hold. And it's going to be telecast on Showtime Extreme. It'll pretty much be, in England's time. So while it'll be at night over there, it's going to be pretty much around, like, I would say about 4:35 o'clock here in the States, or at least in the Eastern Standard Time market. So that's going to be a little part that we're going to be looking into. That also includes a junior featherweight eliminator bout in the undercard for Gavin McDonald and Jorge Sanchez, among other things. But we've went through, that particular fight between Quigg and Frampton multiple times here on the show. So we're going to focus on a couple of other things, or a couple of other fights that are out there within that same date. One that's going to be on the Showtime telecast, and, the other here that is going to be on the HBO telecast. And we're starting off with the main event there with Terrence Bud Crawford defending his WBO Junior Welterweight Championship against Hank Lundy. And I think this is something here where I think a few more people will be able to take a look at Terrence Crawford. I mean, a lot of fans of Terrence Crawford, among others, were hoping that he was going to get the opportunity to face Manny Pacquiao on April 9th in Las Vegas, but that apparently was not the case. As we know, Manny Pacquiao was chosen to fight Timothy Bradley in Las Vegas on April 9th for the WBO Welterweight Championship. So here we have Terrence Crawford going over to the Madison Square Garden Arena to fight Hank Lundy, who's, you know, basically, you know, bounced up and down between lightweight and super lightweight. He's fought four minor championships in the lightweight and super lightweight division. He's had a NABF lightweight championship and also an NABO lightweight championship, but also fought for a couple of super lightweight championships that were minor but didn't necessarily win those. He's fought, you know, Thomas DeLorme and Mauricio Herrera in the past. He's also fought another guy that was a super lightweight champion, Victor Postol, back in 2013, and lost a unanimous decision to him over in the Ukraine. So he's stepping up here to fight Terrence Crawford in Madison Square Garden. That'll be on the HBO telecast there. You know, fairly regular fighter out of, you know, Philadelphia, PA. But he's had, you know, a string of losses over the past few years, going back to March of 2013. Well, actually back to July of 2012. So in his past, I would say seven fights, his record has been 4-3. So he's, you know, teetered around, you know, a 500 record over the past few fights. But now he's getting this opportunity to go up against Terrence Crawford, who is regarded by many as the best in the division, and also amongst the rankings in the pound-for-pound list for many publications, and among one that I had put up myself, which actually may come up with another list here soon, probably sometime after these sets of fights happen here on the 27th, as with not only, you know, Crawford fighting on the 27th, you have, like I said, a couple of key fights that are there that will decide, like, who's amongst the tops in their division and stuff like that. And we've seen a couple of other fights that have happened over the past couple of months here, within January and February, that, you know, could basically change up the pound for pound rankings a little bit that I've had in the past. So we will see if I can put that up on the chgonsports.com website. So be on the lookout to see the updated pound for pound list on the chgonsports.com in the near future. So we'll be on the lookout for that. But back to this fight card here with Terrence Crawford and Hank Lundy. You know, as I said, I mean, you have the regular veteran in Lundy against Terrence Crawford. Crawford is looking to see if he can showcase himself there in Madison Square Garden, as he's, you know, putting himself in a bigger market there. I mean, I would say that, you know, ever since the fight against Yuriorkis Gamboa, where he pretty much scored a TKO victory. He's pretty much been fighting in Omaha, Nebraska since then. So, I mean, he's had his, you know, his wins over Ricky Burns over in lightweight, and and also Raimundo Beltran, who is a, you know, very good veteran there that that fought for a lightweight championship after Crawford moved up in 2014. So he's had, you know, pretty good fights up to this point. Going up against the likes of Thomas Lorme for that super lightweight belt, and defending it once against Thierry John, who, you know, has fought other title holders in the past. But as I said, pretty much to open up the show, it's been something to where a lot of the fight fans and those that watch the sport are looking for Terrence Crawford to be amongst the spotlight out there in comparison to, you know, other guys that are pretty much at or around his weight class that may not necessarily have the same skills as Terrence Crawford does. So we were looking for Crawford to get a high-profile fight against Manny Pacquiao, see if he would move up to get that, but that was not the case. And now, with Crawford being the number one guy at super lightweight, you have guys that are under him, such as Victor Postol, Edward Toranowski, Adrian Granados, Matisse. They, you know, some people rank Matisse still around there. So that's something that we will see if Crawford will be able to have those chances to either get another, you know, get another belt within that division, or if he'll have to move up yet again. There is other guys that are out there, such as Mauricio Herrera in the division. Like I said, he's already beat DeLorme, so that's out. And Toranowski is one that recently won a belt against Cesar Cuenca, who was up to a point undefeated in that division. So without really getting much of any knockouts. But Toranowski is actually in line to fight Cuenca once again in a rematch for those titles. I know it'll be in Russia yet again, but we're still looking for Crawford to actually make a name of himself outside of the, you know, immediate super lightweight division by getting one of those high-profile fights against one of those top guys. So we'll see if he's able to get something like that in the near future. Within 2016, because I would say that I don't think Terrence Crawford can afford not to, you know, get a bigger fight out there for him. I mean, there's guys that have either, you know, been under his weight class or at his weight class or above his weight class that have gotten big fights while he's, you know, still there waiting. For example, you had Danny Garcia, who over the past, I would say, 10 months, was able to fight Lamont Peterson, and he did have that fight against Pauly Malignaggi, and then, you know, this year was able to fight Robert the Ghost Guerrero at welterweight, in order to get the WBC welterweight championship. And so now they're, you know, they're trying to put Daniel Garcia up there amongst the high-profile guys in welterweight, while, you know, Terrence Crawford is sitting there, light welterweight. That may be better skilled than Garcia, but doesn't have the opportunity to, you know, prove himself against the guys like Lamont Peterson or anyone like that, while, you know, you have Garcia getting those chances. That's pretty much the quick synopsis on that fight between Terrence Crawford and Hank Lundy. We also have a another fight that's there on the undercard at Madison Square Garden that'll have a few guys looking at what's going on with a young guy there in Felix Verdejo. Verdejo, you know, coming out of Puerto Rico, right now is undefeated at 19-0, going up against William Silva, who is 23-0. And they'll have, you know, a lightweight championship on the line that Felix Verdejo has. That he pretty much won back in 2015 against Marco Antonio Lopez. You know, he's a very skilled guy, Verdejo is, and coming out of, you know, Puerto Rico, which is among one of those areas where a lot of skilled amateur boxers come from. So we'll be able to see what Felix Verdejo is able to do here. I mean, he qualified for the Olympics back in 2012, and you know, was able to see if he could move on here by defeating his upcoming opponent here in Silva. Silva does have high advantage against Verdejo, as he's a lightweight, but he's 6'1" at lightweight. So that's going to be a pretty interesting fight there to see if Verdejo was able to make any adjustments to see if he's able to get to Silva in this fight. After Verdejo gets this opportunity here at lightweight, we'll see what he's going to be able to do pretty much after that. He still has a little bit of ways to go to challenge for any of the belts that are in that weight class there. I mean, you do have the likes of, you know, guys like Denis Shabakov, Raimundo Beltran, Mickey Bay, Jorge Linares, and Rancis Bartholomew within that lightweight division. So that's going to be something for Verdejo to look forward to in the near future. But as of right now, he's just, you know, moving up the ranks a little bit, you know, getting win after win here and there. You do have also Jorge Linares, also rated high within the lightweight ranks. So that's going to be something to look towards there in the HBO telecast as a co-feature is for Felix Verdejo to see if he's going to be able to get past his opponent here coming up. Once again here, folks, this is the Boxing Source Radio Show. The number to dial in is 347-237-5539. Once again, number is 347-237-5539. You press the 1 key to get on queue, and you'll be able to talk live on the show. All right, we're going to move towards the other telecast here that is on Showtime. It's going to be later on in the day. As I said, you have Frampton Quick. That's going to be earlier in the day over here in the Eastern time zone. But then later on, that's going to be in Anaheim, California. You do have the featherweight, one featherweight champion there, Leo Santa Cruz, going up against Kiko Martinez in Anaheim, California. So you do have, you know, one guy that's, you know, highly rated within that division. In the featherweight division, in Leo Santa Cruz. Some put Santa Cruz among the cops in the featherweight division, while others may feel otherwise. As you do have guys like Nicholas Walters floating around that division. You do have Lomachenko floating around the division. You do have Gary Russell Jr. floating around the division. But, you know, Leo Santa Cruz, it's pretty much coming off his win against Abner Mares back in August of last year in the Staples Center, as going to, you know, get his first defense of the WBA featherweight championship against Kiko Martinez. And Kiko Martinez, he has fought a few notable guys himself. He's fought Scott Quigg. He's fought Carl Frampton. Lost to both of them, as you know, as he's lost to Frampton twice. But he's been a title holder. He's won the Super Bantamweight Championship for the IBF back in the day. So there is, he does have a little bit of experience, but not necessarily sure if he's going to be good enough to hold off Leo Santa Cruz here. I mean, he has fought a good number of times, actually, over the past few months. He's had three fights in the last, before the final 3 months of 2015 over in Spain. So, you could say he's been busy, to say the least, in the ring. But this is going to be definitely a huge step up for him, going up against Leo Santa Cruz. And I think he's going to be able to pull off this. It's going to be Santa Cruz here that might see if he can get in fairly, I wouldn't necessarily say a fairly easy victory, but it will be a convincing victory for Leo Santa Cruz. And if Kiko Martinez gets like anything close, well, I would say if he gets something towards win in this fight, then it would be a shock to many, because of the skill level of Leo Santa Cruz, for one, and that Kiko Martinez in his past fights where he's gone up against, like I said, the likes of Quigg and Frampton, he wasn't able to pull off the win there. So so I feel that Santa Cruz should be able to pull off that, should be able to pull off that victory in that fight. In the co-feature, it will be a junior featherweight championship on the line, as Julio Seja will be defending his version of the junior featherweight championship in that fight. And here, Julio Seja will be defending his version of the junior featherweight championship. So you'll have three of the four major belts in that division on the line on that night with Scott Quay actually having a regular version of the WBA championship. But Julio Ceja here will go up against Hugo Ruiz, and seems like Hugo Ruiz is currently the number six contender in the WBC there. Not necessarily, you know, ranked fairly high in the overall rankings for junior featherweight, but is, you know, there as the number six contender for Julio Ceja's championship. So so we're going to see those two guys pretty much get on in that co-feature. Not necessarily all too sure on who's looking towards what's going to happen much with this fight with Julio Ceja, because after this, I don't see Ceja really going after either the winner of Frampton Quick or even Guillermo Rigondeaux. So even if he wins this fight, that may not mean much as far as his future plans within that division. So if Ceja does pull off that win, he may end up finding another one of the contenders within the WBC. So I'm going to check on, you know, his background here to see where his previous fights have been at. This here is basically a rematch here with Hugo Ruiz, and in the last one, he was able to score the TKO victory over Hugo Ruiz, and it was for the interim super bantamweight championship. So just trying to see here, because Leo Santa Cruz was a former WBC champion at that weight class, and as we know, he moved up. So Hugo Ruiz will be fighting here against Julio Ceja for the full version of that WBC super bantamweight championship. And I'm looking here, it seems like Ceja's last, well, his only loss was against Jamie McDonald in the United Kingdom back in 2013. So and McDonald is, you know, basically the bantamweight champion there in the WBA, as he has one version of that WBA championship of 118 pounds. But that Ceja's only loss up to this point. So if he was able to score the TKO victory, basically, over Hugo Ruiz, then here in this fight, I don't think it'll be much different hearing that. Just here going over a quick break. Number to dial in is 347-237-5539. Once again, 347-237-5539. Press 1 key to get on cue. This is the Boxing Radio, Boxing Source Radio Show here, live on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio.
Football talk like you've never heard it before. Possibly one of the funniest podcasts in sports today. That's right, the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. We have Cali Mike, Chi-Town, Carcell Mathis and the Mouth of the South, Tony Watley. They give you a different perspective of football that may not be found anywhere else. You may also catch the callers with some classic lines as well.
There's a blackout level.
What is it?
I don't know. I don't know exactly what it is off the top of my head.
Okay, I know you're in front of your computer right now. Look it up.
I'm about to look it up right now, all right?
National blackout level.
I never said national blackout level, liar.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Okay, Florida blackout level. Whatever blackout level you want to look up, look it up.
You can't compare a fifth-year quarterback to a 20-year quarterback. How do you compare Cam Newton to Peyton Manning? That's impossible.
I don't even think Cam Newton's going to get a contract extension.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the worst franchise in the National Football League. The worst franchise in the National Football League.
The difference between Jameis Winston, Matt Ryan, and Cam Newton is Jameis Winston has the ability to lead a team to a championship.
Once again, people, the CMT Firestone Football Talk Show every Wednesday night on the MRN Broadcast Network. Better than diamond rings. That's why
we're here to sing football. Jameis Winston is just stupid.
Folks, we are back here live on the Boston Source Radio Show. Number to dial in is 347-237-5539. Once again, 347-237-5539. Press the 1 key to get on cue. You'll be able to talk in live on the show. We just ran through pretty much all of the fights that are coming up here on February 27th in different locations, and they'll be broadcast on different networks. So now we'll pretty much touch on what's going on in the next week, as we have, a few things going on March 5th. We have multiple cards on March 5th, as well as we have, a card here in the D.C. area, in the D.C. Armory. And then also we have something that's going to be in Pennsylvania, too, plus a heavyweight championship will be on the line, too, on March 5th, actually two heavyweight championships will be on the line, but it'll be two different versions of a championship within the same organization. To start off with, we'll go to the card that's going to be at the D.C. Armory here on March 5th. We've discussed this once. It was pretty much announced that Luis Ortiz was going to be here in the D.C. Armory to defend his version of the WBA Heavyweight Championship. It's the WBA Interim Heavyweight Championship there, and he's going against the local guy in Tony Thompson. I mean, we have Luis Ortiz that is pretty much unbeaten, 24-0 with one no contest against Latif KO. There, that was back in 2014, but he was able to get back to fight for the interim WBA heavyweight championship, score a ticket KO victory against Matias Redondo, and then as we saw in December, he was able to defeat Brian Jennings with a technical knockout there. So now he's moving over here to the D.C. Armory to face Tony Thompson, who is pretty much, you know, he was here residing in the D.C. area, coming out of Silver Spring, Maryland, that as a veteran has 46 fights under his belt. His last fight was a unanimous decision loss to Malik Scott in October of 2015. Even though Thompson is a veteran here, has held a couple of versions of a heavyweight championship. There was like an international championship and things like that. But he's also, you know, been in the ring twice against Vladimir Klitschko, lost both of those. But has a couple of, you know, intercontinental championships here and there. But he's lost, he lost his last fight. Gets lost. Actually, three of his last five and four of his last seven since 2012. And now he's going up against Luis Ortiz here on the D.C. Armory. So that's not – it's a lot of people say it's not looking good for Tony Thompson in this fight. I think more of the interest is going to be, more of the interest is going to be on the co-feature of that event, which is for a version of the WBO welterweight championship, as a Saddam Ali will be going up against Jesse Vargas. Saddam Ali has been the top. Pretty much the top contender for that version of the WBO welterweight championship. It was going to see if he could get a fight against Timothy Bradley, but as we know, Timothy Bradley was named to fight Manny Pacquiao here on April 9th. So with Bradley going up against Pacquiao, he basically vacated that WBO welterweight championship, and now it's going to be Jesse Vargas and Saddam Ali going after the title here in that fight. Of course, we know that Vargas was able to fight Timothy Bradley Jr. for the interim world title for the WBO back in June of 2015, and pretty much got outboxed for that whole fight. And if he didn't really score that, you know, big punch near the end of round 12, then it was almost nearly going to be a like a 10-2 or maybe a 11-1 for Timothy Bradley in that fight. But here is Jesse Vargas is going up against world kid Saddam Ali, who's been, you know, waiting for this opportunity to fight for a version of the world championship. I mean, he's undefeated 22-0. I've seen him against Luis Carlos Abreu back in November 2014. He's, you know, one of those prospects, amateur prospects that came up, you know, alongside guys of the likes of Errol Spence. But we see here, that, you know, Ali is pretty much going to go one-on-one here against Jesse Vargas. So I think it's going to be a pretty good fight, actually. I think you're going to see both of these guys showcase their skills and their abilities in this fight, and it'll probably be one fight that may end up being pretty close to a point. But feel like a few people are favoring Saddam Ali to take the victory in this one, and I kind of agree with that. I think Ali is one that I wouldn't say one that just has the skills to beat Jesse Vargas, but I think Vargas has too many holes pretty much in this game that will open himself up to getting caught by Saddam Ali. So I feel that Saddam Ali will be able to get this victory and be able to win the WBO welterweight championship. So we're gonna see if that fight's going to fill itself out. I was considering going to this event, but pretty much I'm so like undecided. I was leaning towards not going because of going to be out there for the fight next week over in Uncasville, Connecticut. So we'll see if plans change in reference to that here within the next week or so. But those are the two feature fights there that's going to be on the HBO telecast hosted within the DC Armory on March 5th. On the Showtime telecast, we're going to have a few fights out there. There's supposed to be two middleweight fights going on Showtime in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. One is involving Tony Harrison there. And I think it's going to be something here with Tony Harrison fighting Fernando Guerrero. Both of these guys have a few fights under their belt, but for those that are familiar with that name of Tony Harrison was getting a lot of buzz coming up towards 2014 and 2015, and then in July 11th at the USF Sundome, he was upset by Willie Nelson via a TKO loss there. That happened. And, he was able to see if he could, he was able to shake that off and get back in the ring on October 31st. Against Cecil McCalla in Houston, Texas, and score a unanimous decision victory. So he's pretty much having another fight here to get himself back up in the ranks within the middleweight rankings, I would say. They put him up here in middleweight. With that, he is trying to get back up there to build up his record and see if he could get up in the middleweight ranks. I'm looking into Fernando Guerrero. Fernando Guerrero is fought against David Lemieux, who's fought against Kid Chocolate. So he's had a couple of fights where he's fought for middleweight championships. He had that WBO middleweight championship fight against Peter Quinlan in 2013, and also fought David Lemieux in May of 2014. Both of those were KO losses. Actually, his three losses that he's had have been all TKO or KO losses. He actually has an early victory against Gabe Rosado, too, and E.J. Smith as well. So he's fought a couple of notable fighters. So it's not like Tony Harrison is going up against, you know, any, I wouldn't say slouch. He's going against guys that, you know, have, he's going against a guy that has experience there in the particular weight class. there's going to be a pretty interesting fight for Tony Thompson. It's, I mean, not Tony Thompson, but Tony Harrison. If he's able to get back into the scene at middleweight. There is also another fight there that's supposed to involve Antoine Douglas in the middleweight division, you know, who's undefeated. They don't necessarily have anybody lined up for him as of yet. But maybe, but hopefully he's able to get somebody in there to fight. He's undefeated 19-0 coming out of Burke, Virginia. That has, you know, an intercontinental middleweight championship. And has also, you know, fought and won for a couple of interim belts in continental middleweight championships too. So we'll see if he's able to get something there at the Bethlehem Event Center there on Showtime. But the feature bout that they're going to have here is an eliminator bout for a super welterweight championship. They're going to have J-Rock Julian Williams going up against Marcelo Montano. It's going to be an IBF eliminator. Julian Williams, J-Rock, is, you know, Continental American Super Welterweight Champion. Looking to fight for one of the major belts there at Super Welterweight. And with this being the IBF eliminator, that puts him, you know, out there to be in line of to fight Jermall Charlo. So, I mean, currently Julian Williams is the number 5 contender in the IBF with Marcelo Montano as the number 6 guy in that particular ranking. So we're looking to see if that is going to iron itself out. And if whoever wins that gets a fight lined up with Jermall for the IBF championship. As you do have the other guys with Jermell pretty much going up against John Jackson. They're trying to line that fight up for the vacant WBC Super Welterweight Championship. But J-Rock Williams here is going up against Montano, who is 16-1. You know, from Italy, and has had all of his fights in Italy. Many of his fights have gone up against guys that have had losing records. Man, like, a bunch of them have been against guys with losing records, such as guys with the records of 0-19, 0-10, 17-26, 20-31. So he's, and he has basically gotten a couple of easy fights to start off his career. And he is a IBF Intercontinental Super Welterweight Champion. Don't necessarily see this particular title being on the line in this fight, but But with those two guys, they're contending at number 5 and number 6 in the IBF. This is a definite eliminator bout to see who will be in line to face Charlo for that IBF belt. Real quick, have a few minutes here in the live telecast. Number to dial in is 347-237-5539. Once again, 347-237-5539. Press 1 key to get on cue. Be able to talk live on the show. One other. Oh, man, wait a minute. Just seeing here that we do have another fight that may be fairly notable within the boxing ranks, and I'm still not all too sure how this is going to be able to pass for a fight. After nearly 5 years of being out of the ring, Antonio Margarito will actually be in a fight in Mexico City against Jorge Páez Jr. Of course, those that have, you know, that are following the sport and have, you know, following Antonio Margarito, I've seen some of his recent pictures, and you know, we're pretty much seeing that he has this overall thought that how is Margarito, you know, able to be cleared to fight with what he has going on with his eye. There is right eye. Not necessarily sure they should be able to pass as long as an actual fight. It shouldn't be sanctioned by any organization or by any version of a boxing commission. So I don't see how they're able to let Antonio Margarito fight with that type of condition that he has there with his eye. And it's not like even if he's able to get past this fight, it's not like he's going to be able to challenge for any version of any major belt out there, because no sanctioning body will be able to let that pass for any type of money, any type of publicity, any type of notoriety. So him basically taking this fight is somewhat of an exhibition against Jorge Páez, and hopefully for the sake of the sport and the sake of the fans of the sport, that Jorge Páez is able to pull off this victory before anything else comes out of it, or if anything happens with Antonio Margarito. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the result of that fight and anything else that comes up along with it. So, that's going to be fairly newsworthy. That's going to come out there after everything else clears with the fights that are happening in Washington, D.C. and in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. We also do have one other fight that's going on. As we said, the regular heavyweight version of the WBA Heavyweight Championship will be on the line as Ruslan Chagaev will go up against Lucas Brown. Excuse me. Over in Russia. So we will have Ruslan Chagaev defending his version of the title there. Ruslan is, you know, they're 34-2. He's had just two losses against Klitschko and against Povetkin. And he's defeated guys like the likes of Fastres Kendo and Kelly Meehan way back. And also, for those that follow the sport for a while, John Reese and Nikolai Valuev. He's still flown around here. He's been in the fight game for a while. Really started it back in 97, but really picked it up back in 2001. So, Chagiev has been in and out of the ring for, let's say, it's pretty much been almost 19 years now. And he's going up against undefeated Lucas Brown from Australia. That's, you know, won Intercontinental Championships, so on and so forth. But, and also has, you know, he's had a win against James Toney way back in 2013. But he's able to see if he can get this shot at a version of a heavyweight championship here against Chagiev. I think that's going to iron out a few things there for the World Boxing Association, as they seem to be intending on clearing things out for to see if you actually have a true champion for the WBA. Chagiev gets past this, he's probably going to go up against either Fraser Kendo, as they were intending on trying to get that put together, have him fight Fraser Kendo next, while the winner of the upcoming matchup between Tyson Fury and Vladimir Klitschko go up against the winner, I guess, Luis Ortiz and Tony Thompson. We just have a few minutes here on the live show. Number to dial in is 347-237-5539. Once again, 347-237-5539. All right. We will be going into overtime here in a little bit. And in overtime, just going to go through a few little things here on the upcoming welterweight championship fight between Thurman and Sean Porter. I've seen a couple of things here with Sean Porter kind of going through his little training regimen and things like that. We haven't really seen much out of Keith Thurman. It's pretty strange to me. As, you know, up into the point of the fight that he had in July against Luis Collazo, he's been trying to put himself out there. He's been, you know, one of the most vocal guys out there. And, of course, we've had, you know, the little thing there where he was talking about him trying to fight Mayweather, or him trying to, you know, talk away things there between him and Errol Spence, saying that he would want $10 million to fight Errol Spence, which is ridiculous. But, I mean, now he's here going up against Sean Porter, and once that fight was basically announced, we've heard a lot from Porter, but we haven't heard that much out of Keith Thurman. There have been a couple of, you know, interviews here and there with Keith Thurman, but they've been few and far between in comparison to when he was pretty much active, when he was, you know, out there you know, before and after his fight against Robert Guerrero, during fight week when he had Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao. He was pretty much hanging around there in Vegas. And then up to the point where he was talking about after the fight with Luis Collazo, he was pretty much out there. I think it was during or after the fight of Garcia Malignaggi, he was pretty much out there. But ever since then, there wasn't really much coming out of Keith Thurman and his camp. But now that this fight is official between Keith Thurman and Sean Porter, we have this thing as official. And we really haven't heard that much out of him. So we'll see here with the fight basically coming up here in a few weeks. We'll be seeing and hearing a little bit more out of Keith Thurman coming closer to the actual fight. As I've said many times, for the show, I favor Sean Porter to take this win. I think that this is a massive step up for Keith Thurman, one that I don't think that Keith Thurman is necessarily ready for. So pretty much favor him. I favor Sean Porter to take the win in this particular fight. But we'll be talking about a lot more in the weeks leading into this particular card right here. And just something here in the overtime, we're just going to go through a few quick subjects within the sport of boxing, which include, you know, Bernard Hopkins, what is his future plans going to be, this whole back and forth with Sergey Kovalev and Donna Stevenson, and here this next story is involving one other notable fighter that is in the 140-pound weight class. If you do have, like I said in the opening of the show, Terrence Crawford fighting on Saturday against Hank Lundy, another major belt holder is Victor Postol, who, you know, won the belt against Lucas Matisse, that, you know, was looking for a fight against Danny Garcia over the past year, well, I would say almost from 2014, couldn't necessarily get it. But now we have another guy that has a belt, and his name is Adrian Broner. And Adrian Broner has been talking about fighting a certain guy ever since he won the title from Khabib Adesanya. And that person's name is Ashley Theophane. Now, Ashley Theophane has not necessarily been featured anywhere in any high-profile bouts in a while. And I've said that Theophane hadn't really been amongst the top guys in the particular division that he's in. He's never won a major belt. He's only won, you know, some minor belts, British super lightweight championships, international welterweight championships here and there, but really hasn't scored any major victories. He did have a split decision loss to Danny Garcia way back in 2010. And has fought and defeated guys like Delvin Rodriguez, who, you know, was able to have a couple of fights here and there against notable guys, but nothing really major out of asking Theophane to warrant him fighting for a major title belt. But seems like Broner, alongside Floyd Mayweather, has been talking about making this fight happen. And ever since that talk was opened up, I couldn't believe that it was going to happen anyway. But now it seems like the fight is going down on April 1st. And it is scheduled to be held at the D.C. Armory. The D.C. area is pretty much a familiar spot for Adrian Broner, as Adrian Broner has trained at the Headbangers Gym for a good while before some of his fights that we've seen him, you know, alongside Lamont Peterson, who is from the D.C. area, their Headbangers Gym. So it seems like they're trying to bring that fight here to the D.C. Armory. And the WBA Super Lightweight Championship will be on the line. Even though right now at this point, Ashley Theophane is not ranked within the top 15, as far as I know, for the World Boxing Association. So, like I said, I'll believe it when I actually see it. I know it's posted in these websites and, you know, on BoxRec, and they're talking about it on, you know, other boxing websites. But until I see it, having tickets being sold on Ticketmaster, I won't believe it. I still won't, because there is no way that Ashley Theophane should be fighting for no belt. And that's pretty much what I got to say about that. Moving on, because I really don't want to talk much about that. They're fighting anymore. We have this thing here with Bernard Hopkins. And, you know, it's been a while since Bernard Hopkins has been inside the ring. As he has not fought since his fight back in 2014 against Sergey Kovalev in Atlantic City. He's been trying to look for somebody to fight to see if he can contend for a major belt, but there have been guys out there that have, you know, fought and either won major belts or at the time that he was trying to get to them, they already had a fight put in place. One of the guys that a lot of people were talking about Bernard Hopkins potentially fighting was Arthur Abraham. But Arthur Abraham had something in place here to defend his belt. And now Arthur Abraham has an upcoming fight here against Gilberto Ramirez on April 9th. That's on the undercard for Manny Pacquiao and Timothy Bradley. So that potential fight is out. And now with another fighter, you know, winning a super middleweight championship in Felix Sturm. That may have been a possibility too, as Felix Sturm is a guy that, you know, fought Hopkins' buddy Oscar De La Hoya, but was robbed in a decision that was given in De La Hoya's favor. But Sturm just won that belt. Some people feel that Sturm didn't necessarily earn that victory, but who knows what, you know, other people like in Germany itself and other and elsewhere say about that. But Sturm is able to get that win, and he's able to either get a third fight with Fedor Chernenov, or maybe see if Arthur Abraham can score this win against Gilberto Ramirez and set up something in Germany for a unification bout. So with those two out of the way, Hopkins has said that he's trying to get a final fight in where he would be contending for a title, but be a huge underdog in the fight. Now, there are two guys that have been talked about as his potential opponents for that final fight. One of them is Gennady Golovkin. The only thing is, Gennady Golovkin is a middleweight champion, and I doubt that at this point that Bernard Hopkins would put himself down to middleweight to challenge for that belt. So I don't think that's going to be the case. But the other potential fight, which is pretty surprising to me, is the fight between him and Adonis Stevenson. Now, that would bring up some antennas for a few boxing fans, because there was a point in time when Adonis Stevenson possibly wanted to fight Bernard Hopkins. This is back in a couple of years ago. But what happened instead was Hopkins ended up fighting Sergey Kovalev. Now, there's been a little back and forth going on between Sergey Kovalev and Adonis Stevenson, and a lot of people are disagreeing on what happened between Stevenson and Kovalev for that fight to not happen in 2014 and why it's not happening right now. How I feel about it is this. The fight between those two should have happened in 2014, but the deal between HBO, Stevenson, Kovalev was not good enough for Stevenson to accept those terms. There is someone out there that had to take on it a while back by the name of Moe Brand through the Boxing Forums group in Google Plus, Boxing Aficionados, or through Boxing Enthusiasts. And he pretty much gave an interesting take on what's going on between BO and how they deal with particular fighters. And to me, it seems like they have been like that for the past few years or so. And it's not, you know, anything that, you know, some of us may know about, but I mean, other fighters have said this as well. Other fighters have said it. And other trainers have said it. You've seen Angel Garcia talk about it. You've seen even Roy Jones at a point talk about what HBO has done over the past few years to kind of give shine to particular fighters while, you know, kind of hosing others. And so with that being known, this is why I pretty much side with Stevenson's camp on it, because I don't feel that Stevenson is not, you know, backing down from a fight with Kovalev. Now, I don't feel that Kovalev is necessarily backing down with the fight with Stevenson as well, ever. His team is more leaning towards what's happening with HBO than just getting the fight made. And so they're pretty much shooting that fight down. And now they're looking towards fighting guys like Andre from Far or Yermin Bromer. Now, I don't feel that they're going to fight from Far either, because from Far is pretty much under the same, he's managed under the same thing there, Stevenson. So I don't see where that could get, I don't see how that could work out, because from Far it's pretty much been, you know, managed under him himself too. So I don't see where that gets much interest within the boxing legs. So seems like it's going to be Bromer that's going to excuse me. It's going to be Yermin Bromer most likely, because they've been trying to get Kovalev to fight in Russia and see if they can have an HBO event in Russia. So I would say Kovalev is going to go up against Yermin Bromer in Russia and just basically make that for the WBA light heavyweight championship before facing Andre Ward later on in the year. While Stevenson will continue to defend the WBC version of the light heavyweight championship against maybe, like I said, against Bernard Hopkins, and if not Bernard Hopkins, then I guess Eleanor Alvarez. I mean, it's still disappointing that this fight between Stevenson and Kovalev can't happen, but I mean, it is what it is now, and pretty much going to move on from that. So we'll see what's going to go down between those two. It's just going to be another back and forth, and I know that, you know, Alex Stevenson stepped in the ring after Kovalev's win against Jean Pascal, but I mean, pretty much most of the insiders know that that fight is not going to happen while Sergey Kovalev has signed to HBO. And it seems like people are excusing that particular thing there while a fighter is signed to HBO. So if they can't, if they're signed to HBO, then they can't fight anybody that's not on their HBO or that can't fight on HBO's card. If there is something that can be worked out between the networks, then those guys can fight. And I feel that's the case here. I think something can be worked out between those two networks where HBO can cover the fight, but Showtime can have some type of semi-telecast or delayed telecast or something like that for them to show their fighter and the daughter, Stevenson, so that you know, the fight can be made and the fight can take place. I think the only thing that is happening here is that they and HBO do not want Kovalev to lose his fight to take down the potential super fight between Kovalev and Ward that has already been set in principle. On that note, I'm pretty much going to close out for this week. We'll go on and look into what's happening in the fight scene on Saturday, February 28th, with all of those fights going on. And we'll be able to talk about it next week. I mean, Saturday, the 27th, and we're going to look at it next week, or here on the 20th at the same time, 7:30 Eastern time, on Blog Talk Radio. So be sure to catch that, and here on the MRM Broadcasting Channel, be sure to catch our sister shows with the CHTL Sports on Tuesday nights, 3:30 p.m., and the CMT Friday Football Talk Show on Wednesday nights at 8:30 p.m., and then plus we have Beyond the Commentary with Kevin Crest on Thursdays, same time, around the same time, too. So catch those shows and then be able to tune in next week. Well, here we'll be able to talk about all of the fights that happened on Saturday. And as a closeout on every show, remember, corner boxing is a hit and not get hit, not a standing trade. I'm out.